Pratt Reel 1.
And I'd like to start off concentrating on the period between 1908 and 1914 and talk particularly about your experiences with the University Company of the 4th Battalion of the Gordon Highlanders, which you were a member of when you were at Aberdeen University.
Yeah.
To start from the beginning, I wondered why you decided to join a territorial company anyway.
Perhaps I ought to start first and say that Aberdeen University had no OTC. It had discussed the question of an OTC several times, in fact once in my period, and the view was that if there was going to be a war, we would obtain a better training, more practical training in the ranks than an officer training corps. And hence there was a university company going back many years to the old volunteers. And most, a great number of students in arts and science who were patriotically inclined joined the company as one of the things to do. The company was formally recognized and admired by the university itself. In fact, one of our special features was a parade in full regimentals at King's College Chapel on one Sunday in the early part of the year when the colour sergeant and the senior sergeant read the lessons. So that is why, being a good patriotic student, and since at that time there were rumblings in the air and thoughts that a war with Germany was not too far distant, I joined.
I wonder, were there any other reasons, no matter how slight, apart from patriotism?
Well, I think probably there was the other reason, that it did give one a chance of meeting more intimately some of one's fellow students, particularly those who might not be taking exactly the same courses and classes as you were.
I see. Tell me...
Also, I think one of the attractions, I ought to mention this, was the camp. We had an annual camp, you see, 2 weeks each year in various parts of the country. And those, when you met a man who had been at one of those camps, he gave such a glowing account of the excitements and the pleasure of camp that I think had a very big influence with one.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about the composition of the university territorial company. What kind of people joined it?
The people who joined it were students. They generally joined when they came up the first year. And what happened, it was peculiar as regards promotion. In your first 2 years, you were probably a private. You might become a corporal in your third year, and in your fourth year, a sergeant. If you stayed on longer, as some might do, taking honours degrees or double degrees, you automatically reverted back to private, in that way ensuring a steady promotion flow through the company.
I see.
But if you were in that position, when you went to a camp, you invariably got a nice cushy job like being one of the members of the police.
Yes. So would it be true to say then that all of the officers, NCOs and men in the university company were students?
All students.
Yes.
Students, or had been students. There were a few who still stayed on.
Yes.
But the bulk of them, of course, when they got their degrees, went off to their various jobs in various parts of the world and resigned from the company. But many, of course, rejoined in their local battalions, generally as officers.
I see. Now, one thing which interests me is how you managed to wear two hats. That is to say, there would be these people who, during the normal university working day, would be your fellow students.
Yeah.
And during the evenings when the territorial company were meeting, they might be your NCOs or your officers. What were relations like between the student members of the company?
There was never any friction whatsoever as regards that. we seem, now you raised that point, it's quite an important point, we seem to have quite early in our membership of it got to realize the difference between on-prayed and off-prayed. At on-prayed, discipline all the time, you addressed an officer as sir. Off-prayed, you could call him Jimmy or Jock or whatever his name was, you see.
So you had to make an adjustment.
You made an adjustment, but I don't know, it seemed to get into us quite early on, the need for that adjustment.
I see.
Which wasn't always true when some of the new officers who came along.
Mm. What were the attitudes at the university between those students who joined the territorial company and those who did not? How were you regarded by non-territorials at the university?
It's difficult to answer that one. Some of the people who didn't join said they had not joined because they weren't going in for the Kirk or something, and they didn't think it had accorded with their future career to join a military unit. On the other hand, we had a university company in my time, or at least a dozen, if not more, fellows who actually went into the church later on. So it was really a question of individual choice. Some fellows, I think, were a bit lazy, didn't want any more activities, and some, I suppose, didn't like the idea of discipline.
I wondered in particular whether there was any anti-militarist feeling on the part of those students who were not members of the territorial company.
If there was, it never obtruded itself. At this length period of time, I'm not conscious that there was anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Tell me about the senior officers in the company and also in the battalion of which the company was a part. Who were they? Do you remember any of them?
I can deal best with the senior officers at the time when we were mobilized.
Mm-hmm.
The senior officer was Colonel Ogilvy, who had took over command from Colonel Stewart, who resigned. Immediately war was declared. Everybody said he'd got funk. And Tommy Ogilvy was, I think a solicitor or something. He was a very human individual, hail fellow well met, and the life and soul of the party in the mess during camp. But when we mobilized and he became commanding officer, he cut right off the bottle and he cut down very heavily on his officers drinking in the mess.
Mm-hmm.
Complete change.
Was there any difference between the style of command of these two people?
Yes. Stewart, who was called Beastie Stewart, was a real first-class snob, always looking down his nose at people, and he was hated. Tommy Ogilvy, on the other hand, was hail fellow, well-met sort of chap, and everybody liked him, and everybody knew about his activities at camp. I told you, can I repeat the story about him told by Freddie Bain?
Sure, go ahead.
Freddie Bain, who later was Sir Frederick Bain, who died good many years ago when he was chairman designate of ICI. He was sergeant of the guard, and Tommy Ogilvy was captain of the day. So Tommy went down to the guard tent and said, "Sergeant, anything to report?" So Freddie said, "Yes, sir, I've got a prisoner." "Oh, what's the trouble?" "Oh," he said, "he's drunk." He said, "Let me see the prisoner." They went into the tent. There was a fellow lying, completely helpless, completely blotto. So Tommy stood swaying backwards and forwards, looking down at the fellow, and then said, "Sergeant, that man isn't drunk. I saw him move." That gives you an idea of Tommy. Now, the other one I would like to mention is our own company commander, who commanded U Company, and then when we combined with G Company to form D, commanded D Company. He was Colonel Lachlan McKinnon, he ultimately got DSO under CBE, and he was he had been a student, a law student, and had graduated about 3 or 4 years before. He was tall, awkward-looking fellow, a little hunch-backed, but terribly conscientious and absolutely no sense of humour whatsoever. That was his great weakness. In fact, he was always being ragged in the mess. And when we were on parade, ribaldly singing, we used to have a song, "To Hell with Lachy and His To Hell with Lachy and His Popularities."
And his what?
Popularities. That was a statement he always had when you've been in, slope arms, order arms, and then you stand at ease, then stand easy, then you come and say, "Popularities, everybody." And that was the gag that we had about him, "To Hell with Lachy and His Popularities." Well, we did him joke on him in when we were at Bedford. He issued an order that was to be no smoking of cigarettes on parade. On the first morning after that, we marched off from our billets, and after a few hundred yards, he said, "March at ease." So with one motion, every member of U Company took out a clay pipe and lit it up. I knew nothing about this. I was called Sergeant Major at the back. He came back to me and said, Sergeant Major, do you see that? Do you see that? Members of U Company smoking pipes like ordinary tramps and workmen. What will the people of Bedford think about my university men if that's how they behave? So I said, "Well, sir, I'm terribly sorry, but after all, you know, you barred smoking of cigarettes on parade, and you didn't say anything about clay pipes."
That's a very good story.
Anyhow, the order was countermanded.
Good. Can I ask you what might be a rather tedious question to have to answer, but I'm interested in knowing something of the activities of the university company. I wonder if you could tell me what the routine was at the university. Where did you meet, how often did you meet, and what kind of things did you do?
We really, apart from the church parade, which I've mentioned, for the company in its full regalias, we really functioned exactly as any other company in the 4th Battalion Gordon Highlanders. We were drilled at Woolman Hill, which was the drill headquarters, drilled especially U Company by the Battalion Sergeant Major. And we went to camp and so on, exactly like the other companies. Nothing distinctive at all.
But where did you meet in the university for your evening sessions?
We didn't meet in the university at all.
No?
No. As regards the military side, it was all done at Woolman Hill. That was where the military headquarters of the battalion.
I see.
We met there.
Mm. You've mentioned the annual camps that you used to attend. I wonder if any of those camps stand out in your mind for any particular reason.
Yes, the first camp particularly. The first camp was at Altmore. It's up in Banffshire, I think, up very close up to the sea there. And it was a wild, bleak hillside. It rained most of the time. We were very wet, but there was no proper water supply. In fact, we were reduced very often to having to shave in cold tea or lemonade or something like that. In fact, conditions were such that questions were asked subsequently in Parliament about it, made a song and dance. But of course, those of us being vasty men, being our first camp, we didn't mind whatsoever. We thought it was great fun.
One point which has emerged from conversations I've had with other people who were in territorial units during the war is the suggestion that in some ways the spirit and character and style of TA units was rather different from those of the regular units, particularly in as much as there was a degree of informality which you wouldn't find in a regular unit. I wonder if your experiences would confirm or otherwise.
I couldn't comment on that because, you see, after all, I've never been in a regular unit, always territorial. But I would say this, that, of course, there was great informality and freedom of movement and action and everything, which I doubt whether you would find anything like that in the in ordinary military companies.